ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ नमो भगवत्यै वाराह्यै मात्रे ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने बिफोर् स्टार्टिङ्ग् टुडेस् क्लास् ऐ जस्ट् वाण्ट् टु ब्रीफ् यू ब्रीफ् वाट् वास् सेड् इन् द प्रीवियस् क्लास् ज्ञानम् knowledge is vastu jnanam and vishaya jnanam. Knowledge of the truth is vastu jnanam, and knowledge of an object is called vishaya jnanam. Whether it is vastu jnanam or vishaya jnanam, any jnanam, whatever knowledge takes place, the process of knowing is a subject matter, comes under the discipline of epistemology. How does Vedanta Shastram see this process of knowing? The entire objective universe is known only in five different forms as fivefold objects through five different sense organs. So sense powers play an important role. They also contribute for the knowledge of the objects. But sense powers themselves cannot do anything. They only, that's why we say sense organs. They serve as instruments of knowledge, external instruments of knowledge, bahya jnana karanani. Without the sense powers also, without the help of sense powers also, external knowledge of the knowledge of external objects cannot take place. But sense powers themselves are not adequate for knowledge. So sense powers are important, at the same time they are not adequate. If knowledge has to take place, there must be first manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. This knowledge of existence of self itself is what manifest knowledge, and any manifest knowledge is a cognition, is said to be vritti jnanam. I am, when you say, an expression of knowledge, which itself is a knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought, which means thought must rise for knowledge to take place. Without the thought, there is knowledge. What knowledge? There is pure knowledge. When the thoughts do not rise, no thought rises, there is still knowledge. There is pure knowledge. There is pure awareness, pure consciousness, which is the source of knowledge. But that pure knowledge, the pure consciousness, how is it? It is always, it is everywhere. It's all pervasive. Timelessly, all pervasively, changelessly, it is independently, it is there. This pure knowledge, timelessly, all pervasively, independently, changelessly, is there. But pure knowledge is there. Then there is no knowledge. The pure knowledge is there, no transaction, no transaction, no activity, no transaction. And why? When the pure knowledge is no transaction, because actionlessness is the very nature of pure knowledge. Pure knowledge is not involved in any activities, because knowledge is of the nature of actionlessness, motionlessness, changelessness. So the transaction itself is possible only when the thought rises. So thought rises, when I say the rising of thought, all the thoughts together constitute antahkaranam. The thoughts are resolved, no thought is there, we say mind is passive, actionless. The mind is functionless, action, passive. When the thoughts rise, we say mind is functional, mind is non-functional and passive when the thoughts are not there. When the thoughts are there, we say mind is functional, active, busy. So this thought, this knowledge of existence of the self in terms of I am should rise. First there must be knowledge. Only then knowledge of any object in the world is possible. Is it clear now? And this manifest knowledge always involves two factors. Let me make it very clear. And this pure knowledge is of the nature of knowing. The reality is of the nature of knowing, because it's knowledge. Why does it know? Because it is knowledge. So being conscious, being aware, knowing is the nature of the vastu reality. So knowledge knows. The sun is sun, illumines. Why does it illumine? Its nature. What action the sun do? No action, no effort, mere sun is, everything is illumined. So in the presence of the consciousness, whether the mind is passive or active, functional or non-functional, thoughts rise, thoughts do not rise. Whatever is the condition of the mind, the presence of consciousness, mind shines. Okay, mind shines. The mind is a subtle matter. In fact, subtlest matter. How can we say mind is subtlest matter? We say known. Anything known is matter. Yad drishyam tad matter. How can I understand what is matter? Known is matter. Known is matter. And mind is known. Therefore, it is matter. Passive mind is also known. Active, functional mind is also known. So mind is subtlest matter. And mind, being simplest matter. Mind has the capacity to serve as manifesting medium. Mind manifests consciousness, which means mind shines in the presence of consciousness. So consciousness is eternal, timeless, always there. So mind also is inseparably with the consciousness. The mind is subtle, too subtle that it is capable of manifesting consciousness. Mind shines in consciousness. And the shining mind, actually, shining means don't take it very, very literally. Mind is known, isn't it? That mind is always a conscious mind. Even though mind is subtle matter, mind is of the nature of inertness, still the mind becomes a conscious mind, sentient mind. How is it possible for the mind to become conscious and sentient? Because of its subtleness, because of its capacity, because it is capable of manifesting consciousness, it becomes conscious and sentient. Therefore, mind is always conscious. Even though mind by itself is inert matter, it's always conscious and sentient, because whether passive or active, doesn't exist outside of consciousness. Is it clear? Every step you have to understand. So the passive mind also is conscious, sentient. Active mind is also conscious and sentient. So how do we understand mind is functional and active? When the thoughts rise, mind is functional. And the first and the foremost of thoughts which rises is of the knowledge of the existence of the very self, I. Then am, I am. Then once I am, the first cognition is there and any number of thoughts are possible. And thoughts rise. When the thought rises, as soon as the thought rises, all the sense powers become functional and active. Until the thought rises, sense powers are non-functional, inactive and passive. Sense powers can never function independently without the thoughts. The sense powers had to be functional, they had to become sentient and conscious, thoughts must rise. They must be backed by conscious, sentient thoughts. The thoughts rise, thoughts also are what? Sentient. Because they also associate with the consciousness, manifest the consciousness. Every thought which rises is capable of manifesting consciousness. Like whether I show one finger or 10 fingers, all fingers shine in the presence of sunlight. Similarly, any number of thoughts rise, all the thoughts are capable of manifesting consciousness. So, when the thoughts rise, first the thought rises, simultaneously other thoughts rise. Thoughts rise, sense powers become functional, sentient. When sense powers become functional and sentient, then what do the thoughts do? Thought through the sense power, through the conscious thought, through the conscious sentient sense power, assumes. See, in Samskritam they say it goes out. I don't want to mistake it, okay? Thought through the sense power assumes the form of the corresponding object outside. So we have many vrittis. The thought is called vrittihi in Samskritam. So we have netra vrittihi, shrotra vrittihi, grana vrittihi, jihva vrittihi, no twag vrittihi. Each sense power is backed by its corresponding vritti. How do we know? Because all the vrittis are there, all the sense organs function. Is it proof that vrittis are associated? No? The back of the senses. So through the senses, only with the help of pramanam called sense power, the thought can assume the form of an object. Thought assumes the form of a corresponding object. Thought pervades the object, envelops the object, means thought assumes the form of an object. The thought assumes the light from an object called light. Thought assumes the form of the sound. Thought assumes the form of a smell. Thought assumes the form of, you know, whatever form is perceived outside, thought assumes that form. Very subtle. Very, very subtle. And then, the thought assumes the form of an object. There are two objects. Object in the form of a thought, thought object, and a gross object outside. This object, thought which is assumed the form of an object, that thought also is capable of manifesting consciousness. It shines in the presence of consciousness. So this thought assuming the form of an object is said to be thought pervading the object. Thought assuming the form of an object is said to be the thought pervading the object, which is called vritti vyaptihi. And this thought assuming the form of an object, which is said to be pervading the object, this thought shines in the presence of consciousness, which means the consciousness in the presence of thought is said to be reflected consciousness or manifest consciousness. Chidabhasaha. Chit alone is said to be chidabhasaha in the presence of thought. What is reflected consciousness or reflection of consciousness? Reflected manifest consciousness or knowledge is nothing but the same knowledge in the presence of thought is said to be reflected manifest consciousness. The recognizability of the consciousness is said to be reflected consciousness. Is it clear? Chidabhasaha. Now, this vritti which has assumed the form is said to be pervading the object, assumed the form of an object, pervades the object, means we say it's vritti vyaptihi. And if this vritti, this thought, which has assumed the form of an object, which is illumined by this consciousness, the consciousness which has got a new name as Chidabhasaha, is said to be pervaded by consciousness. Okay, the thought which is assumed him of an object, which shines in the presence of consciousness, is said to be pervaded by consciousness, that is, manifest consciousness, chidabhasaha. The thought which is assumed the form of an object being pervaded by consciousness, being illumined by consciousness, is said to be being pervaded by consciousness. When I say the thought shines in the presence of consciousness, means thought is illumined by consciousness. Thought being illumined by consciousness is said to be thought being pervaded by consciousness. And this consciousness, in terms of reflected consciousness, manifest consciousness, pervading the object, is said to be phalavyaptihi. Phalam literally means a fruit, is here technically in Vedanta. Phalam is a name given to the chidabhasa. Chidabhasaha means consciousness obtaining in the presence of a thought. Is said to be manifest or reflected consciousness. Okay. And every thought which serves as a means, medium, manifesting medium for consciousness, itself is what? Manifestation of consciousness. Is it clear now? Therefore, this, so knowledge, when this palavyaptihi takes place, then knowledge is. So these two processes, vrittivyaptihi, palavyaptihi, they take place simultaneously. Very quickly they take place. There's no distance, there's no time. First vrittivyaptihi takes place, then palavyaptihi takes place. Such thing is not the simultaneous. Vrittivyaptihi, palavyaptihi take place simultaneously. Okay? Then when the vritti pervades, until the vritti assumes the form of an object, pervades the object, there is ignorance of the object. The object doesn't exist. Object is, we are ignorant of the object. How long is there ignorance of object? Until the vritti vyapti takes place, there is an ignorance of object. And the vritti vyapti takes place, ignorance of the object is resolved, is no more non-existent. So, phala vyapti takes place, there is knowledge of object. Vritti vyapti resolves the object, phala vyapti, okay, results in knowledge. Ajnana nivritti, jnana prapti. It looks as though two different things. No, simultaneous. Okay, there is there is light. There is brilliant light. In the presence of light, butterflies are flying. Any piece of knowledge, any piece of knowledge involves these twofold processes of vrittivyaptihi, palavyaptihi, which take place simultaneously. Is it clear? Now, so vrittihi must arise, vritti must come in contact with the object to be known, for which vritti is dependent on sense power, sense of instrument of knowledge. Vritti, in order to assume the form of an object to be known, vritti must come in contact with the object. I'm very carefully telling every sentence. Vritti, in order to assume the form of an object, vritti must come in contact with the object. For the vritti to come in contact with the object, vritti is dependent on instrument of knowledge. So without the pramanam, adequate, appropriate instrument of knowledge, vritti cannot come in contact with sense object. If vritti doesn't come in contact with sense object, even the vritti is there, vritti vyaptihi cannot take place. Without vritti vyapti, phala vyaptihi also is not possible. What can consciousness illumine? What is there only consciousness illumine? Therefore, jnanam is not possible. Is it clear? So, any knowledge of any object, pot, tree, light, music, raga, there again, details of knowledge, detailed knowledge of objects. Any amount of details you know of any object, it's all vritti vyapti, phala vyapti, vritti vyapti, phala vyapti. So, it can be object of touch, object of smell. Amazing. Vritti through the skin, atvagindriyam, it comes in contact with heat, cold, warmth, whatever is this, you know, and assumes the form of an object, and vritti vritti vyaptihi, and that vritti which has pervaded the object in terms of assuming the form of an object, being pervaded, illumined by consciousness, being pervaded by consciousness, becomes knowledge, cognition. So cognition, knowledge, this knowledge is called vritti jnanam. Okay, vritti jnanam is manifest knowledge. In every piece of knowledge, the two factors are involved, vritti, inert vritti, and manifest consciousness. Always said to be reflected consciousness. People use reflected, because any translation you find it, but Pujya Swamiji prefers using the expression manifest. Basically now, two factors are involved. Without one. So without consciousness, thought or mind cannot even have the status of being existent, cannot even enjoy thought or vritti, the thought or mind. Yeah, I think it's the same. Cannot even exist without the blessing of consciousness. Presence of consciousness is blessing. Okay? Presence of consciousness itself is blessing. But this consciousness also, consciousness is also dependent on mind, dependent on thoughts for its manifestation. Manifestation means being available for experience, enjoyment, transaction. Is it clear? Therefore, knowledge is dependent on pramanam. Without a means of knowledge, knowledge cannot take place. It is important. Now, this is knowledge of an object. Any object is, object means it is known, means it is of the nature of inertness, it is matter. Now, Atma Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam. What about Brahma Jnanam, Atma Jnanam? Here also, Atma, the consciousness, the word Atma, the Brahman, of course imply consciousness, the reality in terms of its nature of all pervasiveness, limitlessness. Okay? And we understand this reality is of the nature of knowing, is there, pure knowledge is always there. Knowledge is there. It is this pure knowledge which is the truth of the whole universe. It is this pure knowledge, implied the term Brahma. It is the absolute reality. We need this knowledge. The knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of the reality, knowledge of Vastu. Vastu Jnanam has to rise. Jnana Udayaha. Jnana Utpattihi. Production of knowledge, rising of knowledge has to take place. Jnanodayaha. And for knowledge of reality has to take place, means there must be vritti, isn't it? Without vritti, jnanam is always there. Reality is always there. But vritti has to take place. Without vritti, knowledge is not possible. And if the vritti has to take place, and the vritti has to come in contact with the vastu, what is to be known? What is to be known, even though it is not an object, what is to be known happens to be the very source of knowledge. Still, knowledge, reality happens to be known, is also dependent on vritti. Knowledge means vritti should rise. Not simply rising, vritti should rise, vritti should come in contact with the vastu. To assume the hum of a vastu. Which means vritti is dependent on pramanam. If what is to be known is anything other than yourself, then you can use sense powers as means of knowledge. And based on pratyaksha pramanam, you can also use what? Other pramanams. Arthapatti, upamanam, anumanam, shabda pramanam. All other fivefold, other five pramanams are there, isn't it? The six pramanams. Pratyaksha pramanam, anumana pramanam, upamana pramanam, arthapatti pramanam, shabda pramanam, all inference, etc. All those means of knowledge you can use to have knowledge of an object. But to have the knowledge of, okay, what you are, what I am, to have the knowledge of the reality also, vritti has to rise. The vritti has to come in contact with the object, what is to be known, for which it needs a pramanam. And that pramanam also is in the form of words. Vedanta Shastra Pramanam. Vedanta Shastra's words, when properly handled, they help you. What now? Knowledge takes place. Vritti comes in contact with the Vastu. All these prakriyas, Drikdrishyaveka prakriya, Avasthatraya prakriya, Panchakosha prakriya, Karnakarya prakriya, all these Vrishti prakriya, Adhyarupapada prakriya, all the different prakriyas are from different angles. Vastu is the thought can come in contact with what is to be known. Vedanta Shastram, my way of negating what the reality is not. Vedanta Pramanam, Shastra Pramanam serves as instrument of knowledge for the thought to come in contact with the what is to be known, thereby thought assumes the form of reality. There is the vritti of timelessness, vritti assuming, understanding vastu in terms of its nature. Understanding happens, isn't it? Here also vritti assumes the form of reality itself. And this vastu, what is reality, which the vritti comes in contact with, through the pramanam called Vedanta Shastram, happens to be time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless. It's akhandam vastu. Every object is khandam. Every object is khandam. Sometimes it is there, sometimes it is not there, some place it is there, some place it is not there. Isn't it? It's akhandam vastu. Undivided, indivisible, partless, whole, time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless. This vastu. So Vedanta Shastram uses so many words to may help us understand the nature of reality being such, isn't it? We arrive at reality in terms of its nature. We understand every meaning of every word there. Nityaha. One word negates everything time bound and makes understand timelessness being the nature of reality. We understand reality in terms of its nature of timelessness. Sarvagatam. One word negates everything in the world, including space. You know, you understand reality in its nature of spatial limitlessness. Like that, Vedanta Shastra Pramanam serves as an instrument of knowledge through which the vritti comes in contact with vastu, which is to be understood. Then vritti assumes the form of the reality. That is called what? Akhanda Akara Vrittihi. Okay. Akhandakara Vritti Jnanam. Akhandakara Vritti Jnanam. And here, for knowing an object, there must be Vritti Vyaptihi, there must be Phala Vyaptihi. Simultaneous processes of thought pervasion and consciousness pervasion must happen. Vritti vyapti, pala vyapti must happen for knowing any object. Whereas for atmajnanam is concerned, as far as atmajnanam is concerned, vritti vyapti alone is enough. Pala vyapti is not required. Phala vyapti is not required. Is it clear? Suppose vritti doesn't rise at all. Vedanta Shravanam in fact helps even for the vritti to rise. Then vritti to come in contact with, vritti to assume. Is it clear now? That is why Pramanam is important. Vedanta Shastra Pramanam is important. So, Pala Vyaptahi is not required. Why? Because, let me tell you, when the object is known, the object which is outside is also what? Inert. And the thought assumed the form of an object is also what? Inert by itself. Therefore, the thought needs the pervasion of, thought needs to shine only in the presence of consciousness, isn't it? Therefore, Palavyaptahi is important. Is it clear? Whereas, when the vritti, with the help of Vedanta Shastra Pramanam, assumes the form of the vastu, the reality happens to be pure knowledge, is of the nature of knowing. Pallavyaptahi is not required. Vrittivyaptahi itself is enough. Akandakara vritti jnanam. Will there be pallavyaptahi or not? Pallavyaptahi will be there. This vritti also will be pervaded by consciousness. Like any vritti, pervading any object, any vritti assuming the form of any object shines in the presence of consciousness. This vritti which assumes the form of the reality also shines in the consciousness. The pallavyaptahi is there, but pallavyaptahi is not necessary. Vrittivyapta itself is enough. Okay? For which example is given. Imagine there is a dark room. In the room is dark and there is a pot. There is no light. Suppose if I tell you, would you please go and get that pot? You go yourself. You have very good eyes, okay? You have very good vision. You go and search for the pot. You can't find because there's darkness. What do you need? You need to carry a torchlight. So torchlight is required. I send a person who is blind with the torchlight. It means pramanam also is important, seeing power also is important, light torchlight is also important to locate the pot. Is it clear? Why? Pot is also opaque. Darkness is also there. So you need what now? Pot has to reflect light, then your eyes can pick up. Is it clear? Similarly, to know an inert object, you need both vrittivyaptihi and phalavyaptihi. Simultaneous processes of vrittivyapti and phalavyaptihi must be there for knowing an object which is of the nature of inertness. Without seeing power, torchlight will be of no use in darkness. Without even the seeing power, without the torchlight will be inadequate. Is it clear? Similarly, to have the knowledge of an object, both processes must happen. Whereas to know the self, one process is enough. Vrittivyaptahi is enough. Pallavyaptahi will be there, but pallavyaptahi is not necessary. Why? Because, listen, example again given. In a room, there is a candle burning. There's candlelight. Suppose if I ask you, would you please go and fetch that candlelight? You don't need to carry torchlight. Do you need a torchlight? No. Your seeing power is enough. Seeing power is enough. Your pramanam is enough to see because light is self-luminous. Use the pramanam, pick up the light and come. You don't need to carry torchlight. You can carry, but it's not necessary. Isn't it? Similarly, for Atma Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam, Aham Brahma Asmi, you just claim the reality as Aham Brahmasmi. The Vritti Jnanam itself is enough. The Vritti Vyaptihi itself is enough. Palavyaptihi will be there, but Palavyaptihi is not necessary. Palavyaptihi is not required. Is it clear? Is one thing. Now suppose the question comes. Oh, we say reality, Brahman is of the nature of self-effulgence, self-revealing, of the nature of knowing. Why do we need vritti at all for knowledge? Why do we need, in vritti vyapti also, why is it necessary? If you ask, I told you already, to know I am, your reality is self-conscious, self-effulgent. But to have the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, no process is required. Because first it rises, isn't it? Aham asmi, for which no process is required. Vritti vyaptihi is not required, palavyaptihi is not required, no process is required, no pramanam is required, sense organs are not required. To know you are, you do not need any pramanam, no vritti vyaptihi required, to know any palavyaptihi required. First you must know you are, only then any vyapti is possible. To know you are, no process is required. That's why we say self-evident, self-revealing. But to know I am, you don't require process, any process. But to know I am Brahma Asmi, to I the knower, I am the truth, the only satyam of the whole Brahma, you need vritti. Is it clear? Why do you need vrittihi? Not for knowing you are. I am a conscious being. I am. To know I am, to know I am a conscious being, you don't need a vritti. Vritti vyaptihi or pala vyaptihi, no process is required, no effort is required, no pramanam is required. It is because of this knowledge alone any pramana operation is possible. Isn't it? Operation of pramanam is itself is possible. Vritti vyaptihi is possible. Vrittihi is possible. Later on palavyaptihi is possible. Everything is possible because of this knowledge. I am. This knowledge doesn't need any process. Okay? The process, vritti vyaptihi, the process in terms of vritti vyaptihi is required to know I am the truth, satyam, the only reality of the whole. Aham asmi, to know that you don't need vritti. To know aham brahma asmi, you need vritti. Is it clear? This is. So, vritti vyaptihi alone enough. Pala vyaptihi is not required for atmajnanam. So, Vedanta Shastram properly, really heard repeatedly with Shabda, systematically, for repeated listening, does something. The vritti rises. Vritti comes in contact with the vastu. And the vritti pervades, is it? Vritti assumes, means vritti vyaptihi takes place, thereby this akhanda akara vritti jnanam. This is how knowledge takes place. So we understand importance of pramanam. Suppose, if you ask me, I use my seeing power, vritti also rises, and the seeing power also is there. And then, suppose there is a viparita jnanam, in not bright light like this, in a dim light, I mistake the, especially in winter, all the leaves fall, all these trees, they stand bald, I mistake a stump for a man. In the vritti assumes which form? Man's form. But what is object outside? A stump. Then what is the jnanam I have? There is a man, there's a thief standing behind at the back door. This jnanam is what? Vritti jnanam only. Viparita jnanam. Wrong knowledge. Why? The object outside is a stump, but the vritti has presumed the form of a man. How is it possible? Through my eyes only. Through my eyes, vritti comes in contact with the object. But this object is mistaken to be the man because already there is man in my memory. Okay. The vritti connects what is in memory to that object and it assumes the form of the object. Then there is what? Viparita jnanam. Even for viparita jnanam, vritti must be there. Vritti vyapti, pala vyapti must be there. Okay? The form vritti has assumed, the what is outside, is not the same, we call it viparita jnanam. This class, this is only, I just wanted to tell you the previous class. I want to just present again the what was said in the previous class. The time is gone. Anyway, today what I wanted to start, existence. We talk about this existence. In Sanskritam, we use this word sat. Or satta. We have to understand this existence. By another word called reality. We have threefold. Threefold reality. Absolute reality, then objective or empirical reality, then subjective reality. Subjective reality is pratibhasikam satyam. Objective or empirical reality, objective reality, empirical reality, relative reality, three words we use. We say vyavaharikam satyam. Vyavaharikam satyam. Then, paramarthikam satyam. Paramarthikam satyam is absolute reality. Satyam. The word satyam implies reality. Paramarthikam satyam. Vyavaharikam satyam, pratibhasikam satyam. So, paramarthikam satyam is absolute reality. Vyavaharikam satyam is objective or empirical or relative reality. Pratibhasikam satyam means subjective reality. And this topic of understanding this threefold reality is sattatraya vivekaha, sattatraya vicharaha. So Shastram says, a human being's greatest accomplishment, the human intellect's, intellect's capacity, I mean, the capacity of the human intellect becomes properly, absolutely used, becomes used totally only when the discovery of the absolute reality happens. After discovering the absolute reality, the human intellect itself will resolve. Which means there will not be anything else for the intellect to be known. So, that's why we say the greatest accomplishment on the part of a human intellect is discovering this, what is absolutely real. Just paramarthikam satyam. So we say satta. Another word is satta or satyam. Satyam is a neuter gender word. Satta is a feminine gender word. So sattatraya vivekaha, sattatraya vicharaha means analysis of the these threefold realities. So absolute reality is that which is always, which cannot be negated at all. So trikala abadhitam satyam paramarthikam, that which cannot be negated at all is paramarthikam. Now we have to start from pratibhasikam. So what is pratibhasikam satyam? There are definitions given. Pratibhasikam satyam is that which gets negated even as the experiencer is. It needs to be explained. Pramatari sati yad badhyate tat pratibhasikam. This is the definition. Pramatari sati yad badhyate tat pratibhasikam. Let me give the example. Pramata means the knower. Experiencer. Pramata means the knower, experiencer. Now, I see a mistake the rope for a snake. Okay? And a snake, and for others, there's no real snake. There's only rope. And the rope, the snake enjoys existence, isn't it? The snake enjoys existence. In my perception, sarpaha asti, sarpaha bhati, snake is. Pramata, I am. Without the pramata, how can there be prameyam? How can there be an object of knowledge without the experience, the knower? So pramata is present. In the presence of pramata, there is prameyam, an object of knowledge, which is a snake. But really there is no snake. But in my perception, snake is. In my knowledge, snake is. So snake enjoys reality or not? That which is, is real. That which is real. So snake is in my perception. The snake also is real. But how real snake is? In my perception, it is. And Jyotiji puts a chart and shows, she says, it is not there. There is no snake at all, she says. But for me, I see the snake. That's viparita jnanam. You know, vritti connects the rope. When the rope connects the vritti to the snake which has been perceived before. Viparita jnanam. This is a viparita vritti jnanam. What is outside is rope, but what is illumined here is what? Vritti assumed snake. And I say what? I see only the snake. Now, Jyoti sees the rope. The experiencer of the rope, the experiencer of the snake is one and the same Atma. Are there two different experiences? Tell me. Important lesson. Are there two experiencers? Are there two different knowers? How can that knower says the rope is? How can this knower says snake is? Understand here. The knower is consciousness. Consciousness only illumines what is. In this, here the vritti is what? Snake vritti. There, Rajju Vritti. Is it clear? Now, there are two different plants. One rose plant has yellow roses. Another plant has red roses. What does the sun do? Sun is the only illuminator of both colors. Sun illumines red color in other plant. Same illumines yellow color here in the other plant. Similarly, the reality, the consciousness, all-pervasive consciousness as manifested by, okay, manifest consciousness in the presence of a given vritti illumines the rope. Same consciousness illumining another vritti illumines the snake. Therefore, is it clear now? Really speaking, there is no difference in consciousness. The vrittis are different. The problem is with the vritti. Is it clear? So, viparita jnanam, samyak jnanam. Viparita jnanam, samyak jnanam. Which is, and the snake enjoys existence. Snake enjoys is reality, real, because in my perception it is. Therefore, how real it is? It's called pratibhasikam satyam. Snake enjoys what? Snake has pratibhasikam satyam. Snake is subjectively real. So, knowledge of the real, knowledge of the snake, which is viparita jnanam, which is real only in a given viewers. No, knowledge. Therefore, it is what? Subjectively real. The snake has only subjective reality. It is pratibhasikam satyam. Now, when Jyoti says it is a snake, not no snake, and she uses what proper means of knowledge, she takes the torchlight and shows very well, even though stands far away, but 100% she is clear, she sees, she also lights up and sees well. And all of you see, for all of you it is snake, the only rope only. Only for me it is snake. And I have one more person joining me. Doctor also joins me. We both have what? Pratibhasikam satyam. For all of you it is snake. It is rope. For us it is snake. For all of you it is rope. Objective rope is what? Rope is. In your perception rope is. So that which is real. But how real the rope is? Rope is objectively real. Empirically real. So rope has vyavaharika satta. Vyavaharikam satyam. Rope has vyavaharikam satyam. Vyavaharika satta. It is empirically real, relatively real, objectively real. Experientially real. Is it clear? Vyavaharikam satta. Now even now, how come, how many knowers are there? There's so many people get together and so many people say what is rope only. There's no snake at all. Which means for all of you, your seeing power, through the seeing power, all of you entertain the vritti which has assumed the form of rope. Understand? That is why many people have what now? Vritti, vritti vyaptihi is of the rope. Only for us, only for me, vritti vyapti is what? Snake. The object outside and the object inside, the tallies, it is vyavaharikam jnanam. Vyavaharikam satyam. The object outside and the object inside do not tally, it is pratibhasikam satyam. Okay? The object now have vritti and object outside. So, vyavaharikam satyam, patibhasikam satyam. Now, what happens? First thing, what it say? Pramatari sati yad badhyate. Now, as I am the knower here, then all of you convince, not simply convincing, all of you really show me there is no snake at all, there is only rope. Then after I make the pramanam properly, I use the light, I use see, I am also convinced of the fact what is rope only. Now what happens? Where does the pramata go? Pramata is still the same experiencer of the snake, continues to be there. Now pramanam is corrected, isn't it? Then error is corrected. Error goes, error in my perception is removed. Then what is this snake, what is this rope, I also understand. So pratibhasika satyam is badhyate. What is subjectively real is negatable even as the pramata is. Even in the presence of the knower himself, okay, in the presence of the knower himself, the Pratibhasikam Satyam can be negated. I am here, I have experienced that I am here. Now, still, that rope, snake is, this snake goes away. Snake is negated, there is no snake. Is one of the definitions of Pratibhasikam Satyam. What is that? Pramatari Sati Yad Bhadhyate Tat Pratibhasikam. Even as the Pramata continues to be there, that which is negatable, is Pratibhasikam Satyam. On verification, when it is corrected, it is negated. It is Pratibhasikam Satyam. The one more definition I tell you for Pratibhasikam Satyam. Well, so much I had to discuss. Don't think, see, the words are very familiar for you. It's all for clarity. No, one more thing is, Arthakriya Nasti. Pratibhasika Sattayaha Arthakriya Nasti. Second definition. Pratibhasika Satyam serves no purpose. Arthakriya means utility, usefulness. What purpose does anything which has Pratibhasika Satta? What purpose does it serve? What utility, what use is it useful for? I'll give you the example. It causes, in fact, unnecessary confusion. So, snake causes fear. Seeing the snake is not of any use. I'll give you another example, very famous example. Mrigatrishnambas. Mrigatrishnambas means mirage water. Mirage water. See, if mirage water, suppose I mistake the mirage water for real water. We don't mistake. The poor deer's mistake. That is why it is called mirage water. The Mrigatrishnambas. Mrigatrishna means the thirst of a deer. And the deer is very thirsty, it runs after, mistakes the mirage water for real water, runs after it and dies. So, mirage water itself in Sanskritam named as Mrigatrishnambas. Okay. And mirage water is what? Now, mirage water, it looks as though it is water. It looks like water, real water. Suppose if I mistake the mirage water for real water, it is what? Pratibhasikam Satyam. And you all say it is mirage water, there is no real water. Don't be like a deer. You can tell me. And on verification, going close nearby, then I understand it is not mirage water. Pramatari Sati, this is negated. Now, even in mirage water is, okay, then mirage water does not quench my thirst. It's called Arthakriya. So, what enjoys, as long as I go near, I verify, I understand, it is mirage water, it is real for me. So, Pratibhasikam Satyam, an object which enjoys, which is subjectively real, does not serve any purpose, is of no use, has no utility. So, mirage water cannot quench my thirst. Which is next, second point. Okay. Then the third question comes. Okay. This, what is that which causes the Pratibhasikam Satyam? What is the source of Pratibhasikam? What is that which contributes for this Pratibhasikam Satyam? What is the origin? What causes the, what, no, பாத்திபாசிக்கம் சத்தியம் ஞானம். Where is it born? That object enjoys subjective reality. Where is it born from? Say, Dushta Pramana Janyam. Three factors you have to remember, okay? The Pratibhasikam Satyam is that which is born of improper use of Pramanam. Pramanam is not wrong. If you do not use Pramanam properly, improper operation of Pramanam also can result in the Pratibhasikam Satyam, in having knowledge of Pratibhasikam Satyam. Something, no, I don't see properly. Dushta Pramana Janyam. So, Pramanam is not wrong. In using, there is error. Called Pratibhasikam Satyam. Now, why do we discuss this Sattatrayam? Why should we analyze this threefold reality? Because our ultimate purpose is discovering the Paramarthikam Satyam, absolute reality. And we have to be, when we are living in this world, we all our transactions must be based on our Vyavaharikam Satyam. But most of the times, even though we are living in this world of Vyavahara transactions, all our dealings, all our behavior, most of the misery, if we take the world as it is, the world is a place of joy. In our perceptions, there's no Vyavaharika Satyam at all. Sometimes it is. Our misunderstanding of situations, misunderstanding of people, misunderstanding of behavior is all what? If at all, Shastram says, any pain you experience, any suffering you go through, any trauma you go through, jealousy, hatred, anger, all these problems which disturb your peacefulness, peace of mind, the disturbance itself, you are disturbed because you mistake what is Pratibhasikam to be real, absolutely real. If you take the Vyavaharikam Satyam as Vyavaharika Satta, then there's no problem. You don't even need Paramarthika Satya Jnanam. You don't need, for you to be peaceful, you need not even have Paramarthika Satya Jnanam. If you know Vyavahara, isn't it? But what is Vyavaharikam Satyam? Seeing anything as it is. If I see the rope as a rope, no problem. You don't need to see how real the rope is. But what causes the fear is seeing the rope as a snake. In fact, most of the times in all our interactions, we have only Pratibhasikam Satyam. So Shastram says, first of all, you break this shell, okay? You shift yourself from Pratibhasikam Satyam to Vyavaharikam Satyam. You be practical. Then only you can think of discovering Paramarthikam Satyam. First of all, we have to correct the error in our perception. Leave alone Atma Jnanam. Relationships. Any relationship can be sustained, maintained, well lubricated, friction free, if the Pratibhasikam Satyam is taken care of. Our vyavahara must become clean. Okay, I'm stopping now because it's another important topic. I will come back and because we need to understand this. You know, actually speaking, what I'm talking to you now, all these factors are gradually to take you to the important Brahmanam of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. You might be thinking, Swamiji stopped the Taittiriya Brihadaranyakam long ago. No. I started with the Upasanas. I thought I didn't want to waste your time. Upasanas of I can't say no use, but it is not necessary for us. Okay, let me go into the actual important Vedantic portion. To go to Vedantic portion, I need to prepare you a lot. Is it? So next class, Sattatriya Vichara, we again have. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.